far are you going?
About 30 years.
In this week's episode,
it's this year's Halloween special where we talk about Go Nagai World.
It hasn't been up to now, but there, it's talking.
There's our mascot.
Yeah.
This is going to be a good episode.
Uh-huh.
You still sound like you're out of it.
Oh, really?
Like...
I was just getting the microphone set up. It was on mute, so...
Oh.
I've been trying out the new Nintendo Switch. Are you recording?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, I got Mario Odyssey for the Switch yesterday.
Okay.
And Josh also got it. So maybe at some point we could do like a video game episode, because I know he also has Breath of the Wild, which I've been playing a lot of. But yeah, so far it seems really good.
Maybe
the Switch it'll start to turn things around for Nintendo.
Okay, like, yeah, we haven't done a video game episode in years.
That's true. Yeah. We did one like at the end of the Cybernauts era, or the beginning of this podcast.
Well, we talked about Shenmue that one time. We spent a whole episode talking about Shenmue, and then Josh getting the GameCon thing, but that was like the early few episodes we did on this podcast. So that's been about five years.
And we had like E3 episodes, of course.
Yeah, but that's not really like a personal thing. It's more like, here's what we saw at E3, this is how much we hated it. And that's usually how it goes every year.
Right. Yeah, it's just like, these were boring conferences every year.
Yeah. So yeah, this is our... I'll just go ahead and get us started. This is our Halloween episode. For another Halloween special of Devilman stuff. The end of yesteryear podcast. So this is that podcast that I just said. I am your host, Dustin. With me is Sleepy John. John, yes, Sleepy Estes David Smith. Because, like, you freaking, like, oh, yeah, I'll be on Discord.
Be 34 character.
I'll be on Discord in, like, a little bit, and then, like, it's now almost 10 o'clock. And that was,
like 6 hours
something.
Later.
Yeah. And you left me all alone finishing up my master grade GPO 2A.
You fell asleep too when we were going to stream it last night.
That was freaking last night. That's like when normal people sleep, not in the middle of the afternoon, John.
That's true.
What are you, a cat? And you call me a furry? I'm not taking that. No, I don't think so.
You'll have to put in the show notes your Halloween outfit so people will know what you're talking about there. The leopard mask.
No, I didn't. Nobody took any photos of me at the party last night, and I didn't think about it. Oh. So. Yeah,
you just have a picture of the mask, but not you wearing it.
Yeah, I know. I had like I looked pretty snazzy. Like, I was dressed up in like this blue dress shirt and red tie, and I was trying to be like dressed up king from Tekken, and like a couple people at that party knew who I was, and they're like, "Dude, that's awesome." I didn't win the costume contest because that's all favoritism with girls, but that's another story. No, so like I was dressed up, and I went into the Publix next to my house to get some stuff for the party. And well, first of all, I sit in my car. And I'm sitting in there, and I'm like, I'm dressed up way too nice for my Pontiac. I need a Lexus, like, right now. So then I head over to Publix, and I'm going in there, and I'm getting the stuff I need. And I had this old woman come up to me, and she's like, "Excuse me, are you a manager?" And I was like, "No, ma'am, I'm not. I'm not a manager here." And I just kind of found that funny. I was like, I'm probably more than enough qualified to be a manager at a Publix. However, there are better things to do with my life than be a manager at a supermarket store.
Yeah, I'm sure Cloud can tell you about the difficulties of working at the supermarket.
Well, I mean, Josh worked at a semi-supermarket, like a Dollar General, per se, in the New England area. Now, has he found another job yet?
Well, I think he still works at the Ocean State job lot, but okay. He's still trying to apply for... work at a casino or something.
Something other than that job, yeah.
Yeah. Because Daft is always belittling him for working there and saying, like, oh, this is a poor people job.
Well, then again, Daft majored in business and he works at a place where he freaking talks about how much he hates it all the time. But then again, he is making more money than John, but yet more miserable than... I mean, not Josh, but more miserable than Josh, too.
He's just... you know, wasting his money that he does earn on stuff like buying jars of air. He posted a picture of that in the Slack chat the other day.
Yeah, and Adult Swim garbage and pop figures that are like, some of them now are worth money, but I don't know.
Yeah, there must be because there are so many that are exclusive to certain events, limited edition things. And
yeah.
Then they have so many licenses. I mean, there's probably stuff for like Devilman pop and stuff, you know, like for the time with this episode.
I would get a Devilman pop figure and a Vinyless Jack one if they ever come out. I highly doubt it. But if and when that happens, I will definitely pick one up.
You know, the first time I ever heard of Devilman was actually through a toy. Not Funko Pop, of course. But they had these Kubrick... Devilman.
Yeah.
It's sort of like the Many Mates.
Yeah, I know exactly. I used to have one of those, and I think I sold it to someone at Animazement like a year ago or so. Yeah.
Yeah, they had the Greg's Comics and Mesa when I was a kid, and I was like, why does it say 14 plus when it's like a little toy? but it's like related to the devil, so it's like, oh, is this like some weird devil superhero? Like, what is this?
Only kids 14 and up will understand Devilman toys. Like, if you're 14 and under, you just wouldn't get it, and it's way too old, way too mature for you as a kid. You can't battle Devilman with G.I. Joe, because Devilman will automatically win. And if you want to know how strong Devilman is, you'll watch that show, and you'll probably kill yourself at 10, or be really messed up for the rest of your life.
I mean, I think the original Devilman show is probably what the action figure was based on.
Well, that makes sense. That was a show for kids.
Like the 70s.
Yeah.
The 70s kind of design.
Yeah, that's very toned down.
But then that doesn't seem like it should be 14 plus, you know? So that's why I found it kind of weird. But then when you look at the 70s manga, and it's like really violent and sexually explicit and everything, like everything Gonna Guy did in the 70s, you're like, wow, this was actually in Weekly Shonen Jump back then. They would not do that in Shonen Jump now, you know, to go that far.
You gotta wonder how desperate they were to take anything they could at that time. Because, like, it was relatively new at the time, too, I think.
Yeah, probably. I mean, he was one of the early, like, innovators in manga, so...
At least adult Japanese cartoons and manga.
Yeah. Because Devilman was, it was, like, one of the first that was really... such a dark character to have as a protagonist that was kind of like evil, you know? Yeah. Ultimately, he becomes kind of insane, and I guess according to this OVA, he eventually becomes Violence Jack.
Yeah, well, I know someone in our, I think it's our Violence Jack episode, that someone eventually commented about how Devilman is related to Violence Jack. And I was like, okay, you know, cool, that's a cool concept. But I never, but the fact that they added it in this, this OVA that we're talking about, oh, we should probably mention it. It's a CB character Go Nagai World, or Chibi character. I got this from Disco Tech Booth at Anime Week in Atlanta about a month ago. So
in our con review episode, which is now out.
Yeah, I mentioned that in the con review episode that we put out earlier this week.
It's just like 5 hours, and good job if you listen to the whole thing.
I put time codes on there, so if people want to just listen to the AWA segment, they know where to find it. So yeah. It's in there, muddled in that AWA segment. But so I got, yeah, I was like, okay, Go Nagai World. This has got Devilman on it. It might be centered around Devilman. And hey, I was right. So that keeps it up with our theme every year. Yeah.
Well, I thought Violence Jack would be in it more, but he didn't show up till like the last like 10 minutes.
Yeah, he was in the last 5 minutes, and that was such a letdown too.
Yeah, and he kind of just—he didn't even like rip anyone in half or anything, you know.
Well,
like,
no, this is a comedy thing. Jack. It's cheesy, corny violence. Like, I'm not sure like how you can make Violence Jack violence corny along with this Go Nagai World anime,
because this like thing it is so weird.
Because it ends with you know, like with Miki and then that other girl that's got like all the hair around her, like berating Violence Jack, because like Violence Jack is like in that other world created by Go Nagai, and
he's just like, yeah, tell. Massinger? Is that what you're thinking of?
No, the one that's from also from Devilman, but it's got the really big eyes and it's got like all that purple hair.
Oh,
around
right,
it.
Yes, Psycho-Gen.
Yeah. We saw that in like the Devilman Almond saw, yeah, from like 2 years ago. But yeah, yes, but yeah. So they were in there like berating like Violence Jack, and which is kind of comedic because you figure like nothing could get under Violence Jack's skin except his ex girlfriend, or I guess current girlfriend or whatever. But
yeah, so they were all like jumping around in dimensions and weird stuff was happening. So I don't know if this is supposed to be canon to like the Violence Jack manga is connected to the Devilman manga, because when you, I finally went and read all these classics like over the last few weeks, the original Mazinger Z and Getter Robo and Devilman and Violence Jack, so that I would get like what this was all about, because I had a feeling it was just going to be like in jokes that nobody would get unless they were familiar with the original material.
Yes,
and this is just like, whoever directed this just kind of came up with this on their own, I guess. So even though people stated as fact online that Violence Jack is Devilman, they never actually say that in the Violence Jack manga explicitly or anything.
Yeah.
There are times when they say, like, he's a demon or he's a devil or something. And but he looks kind of the like same way that devils are drawn in Devilman, but that's just going to guy's style.
But you figure that's just kind of like a phrase, like, oh, he's acting like a devil. Like, he's not really related to a devil. But yeah, he could be a devil the way he kills people and cuts them up or whatever. But yeah, to literally say that he is part of a devil or what it came from a demon like Devilman, then it's like, oh, okay, well that makes sense.
Yeah, well, I guess that the theory is that because of the events of Devilman were so grotesque or whatever that he went crazy and became like a brutal character that wanders around the wastelands of Japan killing people or something. Which I guess makes sense, but he's like 10 times bigger than he was in Devilman, so it's kind of strange. And he can turn into a bird now and all this weird stuff.
Yeah, they had that reference in the in this OVA where like he, I think it was like him like leaving or going somewhere and he turns into the bird.
Yeah. Like in the OVAs and the manga, he always does that.
Right.
It's really weird, but everything about Violence Jack kind of is weird.
But hey, it's entertaining at least.
And this is, I think, the last time Violence Jack was ever seen, like in a video. You know, like
in
they
an
never really
form.
Did any more '90s or 2000s or 2010s OVAs of him.
No, I mean, I wonder if Devilman Crybaby might have Violence Jack in it. I doubt it, though. It's probably just going to be strictly on Devilman only.
They'd probably ruin it. I'm sorry to say, but I mean,
you don't have high hopes for Devilman Crybaby, baby.
Netflix kind of ruined Death Note. They're probably ruined Devilman too. But I mean, I guess it's being produced in Japan, so maybe that's a good sign.
Like, I heard the Castlevania anime, quote, air quotes, it was like just mediocre nonsense.
I haven't seen it, but
I just heard it's like all right, and that's kind of.
I heard Neo Yokio was terrible on there.
Yeah, and that's
Josh, watch that.
How many episodes did you guys get through?
I didn't see it, but Josh saw all six.
Oh, there's only six episodes?
Yeah.
Wow. I would have expected like maybe 13 or something.
They probably didn't have the budget for that.
Yeah, I'm sure some ideas had to be like rehashed and Jaden Smith threw a temper tantrum. But then realized he couldn't get his way, but he's like, well, at least I get my anime made. And that's something.
But it sounds like they let him just do whatever, actually, because everybody seems to think, like, what is this? It's crazy. It doesn't make any sense, you know? Like, I don't know if Netflix is just, like, throwing shit at the wall and seeing what sticks at this point, because they have, like, so many things on there that they're making.
Mm-hmm.
I saw one on there the other day called, like, just showed up as, like, an upcoming thing that's on there that they're promoting. And it was, like, eggplant emoji. A man cuts off his penis and has to return it to his body before it's too late. And it's like, really, this is what they're going to fund on Netflix? Like, they will fund anything now, apparently. And Josh said they're like planning to make 200 movies next year or something insane.
About the man cutting off his penis? It's a continuous sequel
about that.
Of him constantly cutting his penis off. It's like the pet detachable penis song. It's just, I mean, like, let's make a show about that song.
Human Centipede movies, so maybe this will be it.
The thing is, like, I've seen already something like that on Netflix years ago that was about a guy whose penis got detached.
Are you kidding? They made multiple ones on there?
What?
They've done this before? I thought this was, like...
No, that's definitely not a new concept for me.
In depravity.
No, that's definitely something... People, mutilation of penises and they go run wild and kill people is... Not the first time it's happened. It's a new genre, but it has been done. And I think if people were like, well, let's see how far we can take this. And it's just gonna get stupider from there. And that's the kind of things that I'm like, if I ever see it, I'm probably gonna watch the whole thing and go, dear God, what has my life come to? Why did
Doesn't
I say that?
Something about how like anti-male our culture has become that they make movies about cutting off penises now.
So would it be like a penis ploitation film? Dick ploitation?
Yeah.
It ranks up there high with black exploitation and Nazi exploitation, dick exploitation. That's the new film drama genre. Man, we gotta get on that so we can make like $300.
We can use it to save Mason's house.
Yeah, we can donate all the money from our dick exploitation movies, exploitation movies to get Mason out of debt. We'll donate more money than Viku could ever possibly will, based on our dick smut films. I am entirely joking. I will never go down that route. I am not that depraved. Now, Peter Fay, on the other hand, he probably would.
Yeah, better not tell Peter about this or he would start up a company.
I'm not telling Peter about this. If he happens to listen to this episode and gets this idea, then...
Peter does watch anime now, I think.
I thought he always was watching anime.
I don't... Well, maybe so, but he sent out some tweets about it at one point, like JoJo's, I think he watched.
Oh. Alright, do we really want... Alright, we need to tackle this. I mean, we're almost 17 minutes in, and
we barely talked about it.
Yeah. But the things we talked about would not surprise me if they were in a Go Nagai anime, or probably have been in a Go Nagai anime or manga.
There's definitely genital mutilation in Go Nagai.
Yes. There has been that. So Go Nagai World is basically like, the characters are all chibi. This is like, it mostly focuses around Devilman, and the characters
at
of
first
Devilman.
They show him in sort of normal style, but then it's like, oh, this is just a dream, and they're chibi, actually. And then you get the opening, and they're showing him, like, in big, and small form of Mazinger Z and Devilman.
Yeah, no, it was the fact
back and forth from time to time.
No, it was the fact that like the opening had Mazinger fighting, and then like before the music changes to like this like childish stuff, like that's when Mazinger's like legs become like all stubby and stuff, and it's like, oh, this is a comedy. Mm-hmm. It's not. It starts out really rocking, like, oh, this is gonna be so awesome and serious, and then it's like, never mind, this is a comedy. What did you what do you think this is gonna be about?
Yeah.
Fooled ya. Yeah.
It's about, I'm a turtle.
That, yeah, man, that, I guess that turtle did play a role in as the comedic part, but that joke of, like, I'm a turtle when he gets kicked in the face or something got old real quick.
Yeah, do you believe in turtles? He said that a bunch of times, too. I don't know why.
Well, see, like, okay, so the turtle guy came from the second OVA that we saw. Who's one of the demons where, like, he absorbs people, then, like, their faces are on the back, and they're in this long-suffering thing. So that's that turtle, but, of course, he's just a comedic character in this.
And in this, he has animals on his back instead.
Yeah.
And they're all, like, making noises, and then he yells at them, and then he gets killed immediately, but they keep his head around for some reason. And it just
And then he says
stupid jokes.
Yeah, then he says stupid things like, I'm hungry, feed me now. I'm like, you have no torso to digest food. How are you going to eat anything? How are you even alive?
It's in, like, most of the scenes, and it's doing stupid stuff usually. Like, they're, like, sticking frogs in it, and they come back to life or something weird. Like, I don't really know what is going on in it.
Well, then also the fact that he's able to start regenerating his body, so he's got, like, this tiny little body balancing this big head, even though he never used it hardly. He just, like, hey, I'm growing a body back. And then, like, he's still on his head, and he still has to have people pick him up.
Mm-hmm. But, and he, like, took over someone else's body at some point, too. Like, his head went on, like, some villain from Mazinger Z's body at some point that was walking around.
Yeah, I think I remember that. I don't know. I mean, I took a bunch of notes on this. I mean, I was going to start up where, like, basically...
I mean, what the turtle was doing was not really, like, worth taking notes on, because it was usually just, like, stupid.
Well, no, like, yeah, the joke was, I'm a turtle. That's all he really did. He also tried to disarm, like, what was it, a bomb that was around the Mazinger Z, and he was trying to eat it, and he couldn't figure out how to do it. And then eventually, like, took over that one guy's body because it was a headless guy. And he got, like, the C4 and threw it in his direction. The guy's head started flying. But that was, like, in the second episode. But anyways.
Yeah, and then the third one, he becomes, like, a turtle ghost at one point.
I don't know. We need to start where this starts out with, where basically it's Miki coming into Devilman's room in the first episode. He has a dream and turns into Devilman, and he doesn't want Miki to find out. So then, like, she walks in there, and he's able to get out of Devilman form somehow. But then eventually he admits to her that he's Devilman. She's like, well, I already knew because I read the manga. And her joke is that she's an otaku.
Yeah. That was weird. And he was like, why have I been protecting my secret identity?
When you knew this whole time. Yeah.
That you never thought to bring it up before. I mean, I guess it isn't supposed to make sense.
No. But, well, the show breaks the fourth wall, and, like, we need to get out of this crazy place where there's all these bad puns and jokes. Like, we need to go back to the way things were. We need to figure out that world. So, like, they break the fourth wall on that, but that's not until, like, episode, I think, like, two or something.
They kind of, like, aware that they're making, like, a terrible...
Yeah, they're in a terrible world with all these bad jokes and puns.
Yeah, it's like a chibi anime that's anti-chibi anime or something.
Yeah.
Because they kept making jokes about, like, oh, this is just made as a toy selling tie-in and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah, I remember that.
And it's like, wow, they're pretty honest about the fact that they're just making, like, a piece of commercial slop here.
Yeah. But let's have fun with it.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Alright, so... Anyways, like, they realize, I think it was, like, it starts out with, like, Rio is the one that's like, hey, there's an iceberg coming to our city, and also there's, like, ghost semi-trucks and ghost people walking past us. And he makes some sort of comment how, like, there's a rift in the reality that they're in, and they need to fix it. I didn't really get that part at all. But then they have a journey to go on, and so then that's when they run into the turtle, and then freaking Miki beheads the turtle with a cooking knife. And then she gets abducted by, like, a swamp monster. And then, like, the Spawn Monster leaves a note to go, like, rescue, for Devilman to rescue her at the Ice Castle. Which is, like, where the last half of that first episode takes place. Because then you get Serene, which is the bird girl, who is trying to, like, get back with Devilman. And then, so Devilman's trying to rescue Mickey. And then there's that one demon that's apparently, like, a piece of poop or something. That's, like, Devilman's, like, scaling up the walls of the ice building. And then, like, it comes out and tries to attack Akira, freaking Akira, Devilman. And then Devilman can fly, and the poop monster falls off, but he's so persistent, and he keeps falling off and getting more and more damaged. And then every time he lands or falls at his death, he just yells out, plop.
Yeah, they have a lot of amateur humor in here like that kind of stuff. I guess this is aimed at, like, is this aimed at, like, adult otaku, or is this aimed at young children? Or, I mean, it seems like it's very juvenile humor like it is for kids.
I think it's aimed at the people that grew up with Devilman in the 70s, so they would be, like, in their 20s and 30s at this point. So it would be for, like, an older audience.
Just Japanese man children.
Yeah, and just bad Japanese humor that we don't understand.
I think in Japan that it's really funny to have a character just end all their sentences with, like, a phrase, like, I'm a turtle.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they think that that's humor to just have the same phrase at the end of every single line of dialogue that a character says, but it's really not that funny.
It's not funny at all. That's what I mean. Like, it's just bad.
It's not even, like, catchy as a catchphrase. It's just, like, this character is a turtle. And, like, that's all they knew about him. Like, you know,
that's his only joke.
There's, like, this conflict of, like, oh, he's got all these human souls inside of him, and can Devilman really kill him, or is he going to be responsible, or he has to acknowledge that they're already dead in there. Like, none of that is brought up here because that's too weighty for this, like, you know, light kind of thing, I guess. And so they just say, oh, he's a turtle, look, he's a turtle, isn't he cute? You know, like,
yeah.
Like, what's the point of this character even being there other than just to be a mascot?
It's essentially a mascot, and this podcast is a turtle. There, we got our quota, and we got our quote, podcast quote right there.
This podcast is a turtle.
Yep, podcast is a turtle. Awkward turtle.
As awkward as Jeb Bush with those little plastic turtles that he was giving out.
I did not know he did that. This must have been during the race.
Oh, yeah. I can show you a video. It's pretty sad.
I feel like taking the picture of those turtles and just photoshopping the turtle out of this anime and putting him on there. Or just putting, like, the turtle's face over Jeb Bush's face. That would require way too much effort to get this out by Halloween in 3 days or 2 days. But who knows, it may happen.
Yeah, it was one of those really sad things about Jeb, like, when he said, please clap at one of his events. And
he wanted audience participation that badly?
He was, like, delivering some anti-Trump zinger, and he was like, please clap, because nobody was responding at all.
Jeb is a mess. Well, the only cool thing about this that I have to give it credit for is that they made a Die Hard reference. It's the part where Akira was going to rescue Mickey in the ice castle, and he straps the he questions why an ice castle has to have like a fire extinguisher system through it, but like he ties up his he ties around his waist like the water hose, and he's like, yeah, I've seen this in a movie once, and I was like, hey, that's from Die Hard. All right, this anime is all right. And then, of course, like it's him trying to scale from the emergency like water hose or whatever to get to the other pillar to rescue Mickey or whatever, that center tower. But that questions to me, like, okay, so if your castle's made out of ice, why do you need like a what's gonna catch on fire? Like, wouldn't the water, like, kind of take care of the, like, it's going to heat up water and cause the fire to go out, you would think. Unless it's there to, like, make sure ice doesn't melt or something. I don't know.
Yeah, you probably shouldn't think about the physics of this anime too hard.
It's not really the physics, it's the building construction of an ice temple.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, I'm not OSHA.
Nothing about it makes sense. So.
I know. It wouldn't pass any standards anyways. That ain't my fault, my problem.
There probably aren't very many standards in Gonagai world.
Nah. I mean, pretty much it just... I mean, from there it goes from Serene to Devilman having a battle, and Serene's just like, oh, you're supposed to be in love with me. Like, we were going to be married or be engaged or whatever. And supposedly the way it works is that big rhino person, like, has the soul of Devilman, so the rhino guy loves Serene. And, like, his conscience is with that rhino person. But, like... But the body of Devilman and his techniques go to Akira. So Akira has, like, no interest in Serene whatsoever other than big old titties. But that's about it. Because even, like, there was a scene where, like, it had, like the demon and the angel on the shoulder where, like, Devilman's like, why don't you pick Serene? She's got big titties. Like, look at them things. You know you want them. And then it's like... And then you got Akira's just like, no, Mickey's been always good to you. And then Akira's just like, trying to decide, and he's like, okay, I actually pick Mickey. And yeah, there was a joke about like Serene being old and she got really pissed off, but whatever. So then the episode,
yeah, they tried to make it into some sort of romantic triangle.
Would you call it like a rectangle or something? Because then if you add in the rhino guy,
yeah.
Akira, Serene, and Mickey, it's a rectangle or a square.
So, like, the soul of Amon is inside of the rhino for some reason? Is that what the deal
is? Yeah, because that's why the rhino guy is so obsessed with trying to, like, to be with Serene, because, like, that's where Amon's heart is, because Amon's heart is still in love with Serene. So, however that worked, because Ryu is the one to explain it, because he's actually Demon Lord Satan. Or in one point of the subtitles, it said Demon Lord Santa. And I didn't know if that was like a typo or like, was that supposed to be in there correctly? Or was that supposed to be in there? Like, did they just mess up and just said F it? We don't care because like, this is just this anime.
I think the turtle said it actually as a joke.
I thought so too, but I wasn't sure if it was a typo or whatever.
Yeah, I think it was on purpose, but that was like one of the few things where the turtle actually said something funny.
Yeah. I was like, wait, what?
Yeah. Yeah, well, that was one that was like, Santa Little Sister Coon or something, you know, like that, because they had like Satan turn into like a little floating fairy or something. And, they had all these like weird things like that would happen where they had like a little fairy and like this little child's face that was floating around in the sky.
Okay, so here's my explanation for that. I believe, because they say that as like the person that created the world they're in, and it looks like a child, so I say it's Go Nagai. Like, that's the inner child of Go Nagai, is to make this really elaborate world, and certain parts of that world is where like all his shows and ideas came from. So now it's just all of them kind of sort of coming together in a way.
I have to wonder how much is Go Nagai involved with this OVA, or...
I have no idea. I would imagine at some level. I mean, it's done by a different director, but I think like it was just kind of like, yeah, you have my blessing, do whatever you want.
I don't know if Go Nagai ever actually directs anything, or if he just does the manga and then kind of gives like a design to the... And like a rough idea.
I think he's just directly for manga because like people can kind of do whatever he wants with his likeness. It's kind of like, you know, the Masamune Shiro, like with Ghost in the Shell, like, oh, she had full reign to do whatever he wants to with the Ghost in the Shell property. So I think with Go Nagai, like if you want to do something with Go Nagai, he just have to get like, his okay on it. Or like probably through his company or whoever handles that. And he'll probably be like, yeah. Like, you know, we could go up and be like, we want to make a Violence Jack video game. We want to add everything in there. We do not want to hold anything back. Do you allow that? And he'll probably be like, well, this I got to see. Sure, you can make a Violence Jack video game.
Yeah, that could be really cool, actually.
That would be awesome, but I would imagine I feel like, first of all, if a Go Nagai video game was made, you'd be pissing off everyone on the spectrum, including conservatives, social justice warriors, liberals, LGBT, feminists. The yeah, list goes on because it offends
Christians because there's the satanic content.
Yes. Well, then also nudity and kids shouldn't play M-rated games.
Yeah, and it might get banned in some countries because Violence Jack, anime, was banned in Australia, and
that's
maybe
true.
The UK at some point.
So, yeah, but like it can be done. I mean, shoot, even doing that's like the Fist in the North Star games, where it's like, well, it's like the Dynasty Warriors setup. So it's just like, you know, all these biker games from like, gosh, I can't remember half of those people now, but you have like the Slumlord or whatever, like all his like minion armies with the Mohawks like charging at you and like hordes. It would be just amazing.
Yeah.
And then you also have to have scenes of like women getting raped and cut in ripped in half, and that wouldn't go so well.
Yeah.
You could probably add it as a DLC maybe, but...
So the Violence Jack manga is really long, and I guess a lot of it is not translated, but there's like 20 volumes of it or something, and I could find a few of them online, and there's some really brutal content that's not in the anime that they could definitely include in there, because there's so many chapters of it that they could include, like all these different areas, all these different towns that he's been to and destroyed. Because everywhere he goes, he annihilates it pretty much. So you should have it where you can like call down lightning and like do all the kinds of crazy stuff that he can do. But the thing is, Violent Jack is so unbeatable that like, where's the challenge, you know? Cause he kind of can't die. I guess you have to make it where he can't die if you play the game based on that, but maybe it would be fun to just be a complete wrecking ball and just be like an unstoppable force.
Well, that'll be the point.
Yeah.
You're a force, an unstoppable force in nature and the post-apocalypse. At least with Kenshiro, like, I mean, you can get beaten in that game. I mean, they'd have to have some sort of game over or whatever. Like, unless you just make this game as God mode. I mean, yeah, it would get boring, but I mean, that's how it is with Violence Jack. I mean, he can't really be, I mean, in a sense, he can be beaten because when you take, that one OVA where he basically gets like beat up and he's like in bandages and he has to be like trucked over to the airport to save like the school teacher or whatever. So like he's beaten, but he's not actually dead.
Mm-hmm. He can get injured. That's true.
Yeah, like he can get injured or whatever. I think that might be like the extent of your injuries, or when you just have to try over again or something.
I think maybe. I mean, it's hard to know why he's like that, but maybe Satan made him immortal or something because he has a crush on Akira Fudo, so he transformed him into some sort of immortal monster or something, or that was the eventual result of the Devil Beast transformation or something, if we go with what this OVA says about him being previously Devil Man.
Right. But I was going to say on the OVA, like, I mean, getting back to it, it does end with, like, Dr. Hell wanting to marry Serene. So that's when we get the Mazinger Z crossover with this.
Right. Yeah, and then they, in the first episode, they introduced Baron Ashura also. They have all these awkward jokes about how he has a male and a female half of him and each side of his face. And he's, you know, I guess the secondary comic relief character after the turtle.
Yeah, I think honestly, Baron was a better comic relief than the turtle.
That's true.
Yeah, because like Ryu, like in the second episode, like Ryu meets Baron on the ship, and he's just like, he like propositions something, and like enough for like cause Baron to like basically punch himself or themselves, and it just he just like Baron just goes full nuts in front of Ryu, and he doesn't know how to handle it. But then also we get Mazinger Z that shows up, and because then they're on the like it's like the ghoul ship or whatever for Mazinger Z that like that's piloted by Baron or Dr. Hell or whatever, and they even make a joke in this where like basically they go back to the Dr. Hell's base, and like Ryu was just like I want to control all your robots, and the thing is like there's only one robot left because Banzer Gazeed destroyed everything else. And Dr. Hill's like, all my minions left because I make no money, so I don't have enough to build any more robots to fight Mazinger Z. So, this one that I have, it's just gonna have to do. So that's all we kinda have. So, and then it's just more hijinks for like, because the one I think they had left was, they called it like K7 or something. But then he brings out K7, Dr. Hell does, like playing wedding music. And just assuming that Serene is on the elevator off the gold ship, then Dr. Hell's like, all right, I'm going to, you know, finally get to be married and have sex with this girl. And then it's like Ashura and, it's Ashura and Ryo. And then Dr. Hell's like, there is no wedding. This is bad.
Yeah, whoever wrote this must have some sort of fetish for Serene, because she's in it so much. And
she's
one of the prominent female characters of Go Nagai.
Yeah, I mean,
she's even in the Violence Jack manga at one point for some reason.
Oh, wow. I mean, she's prominent, but, like, she's not, like, entirely the main... I think she gets more screen time than, like, Miki and then the girl from Mazinger Z, but...
Yeah.
But I don't know. I guess they
kind of fly around with them, but they don't really do anything.
Yeah.
Really. They're kind of just there. I guess Miki cuts off the turtle's head.
Yeah, Miki has a good purpose, or serves a purpose.
But Sayaka is pretty useless. I mean, she doesn't... I mean, you didn't even remember her name, because she doesn't do anything in it. And I guess have you really seen any Mazinger Z stuff? I've never even seen the Mazinger Z anime.
I haven't really either. I think I've seen the first part of episode one that Discotech put out to promote, like when they're putting it out, but that's about it. And I liked what I saw. Well, then they also have another female character that shows up in episode two, Psycho Jenny, which apparently I think she was only prominent in the manga, but she wasn't in the 70s cartoon. It's the way I took it from the liner notes to the DVD.
So it changes a lot.
Okay.
But I think in the 70s show, it's kind of like the devil man is a demon that possessed Ryo and transformed him into a superhero, but came to like the human world because he likes Miki. And so he decided to fight for humanity instead of for demons.
Yeah.
Whereas in the manga and the OVAs, it's more like Akira is trying to stay in control of himself and use the powers of the devil beast, but the devil beast doesn't really have like its own personality, because I guess the personality is in that rhino.
Right, so, yeah.
So that's the big change from the anime to this. And Psycho Jenny is, she has some involvement with Satan, where she changed his memories or something to make him the friend of Akira or something like that. But, in this, she appears in a few scenes, but I don't think she's really as prominent as Serene or anything.
You're talking about, with Jenny, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because Jenny was only, like, really in the second episode and for, like, a few minutes when she was fighting against, the pilot of Mazinger Z, I can't think of his name.
Koji Kabuto.
Yeah, Koji, yeah. And then also there was a joke there where, like, apparently, like, he hopped into his flight thing to connect to the Mazinger, and then I caused her, like, dress to blow up. And so she was, like... Like, she's like a nude robot, and she gets really embarrassed and starts calling men perverts or whatever. And then her reason why is that people saw her naked, she can't get married. So I'm like, okay.
Oh, wait, I'm thinking of, there's this robot from Mazinger Z that's, you know, there's Psycho Jenny and Devil Man, and then the robot girl in Mazinger Z is somebody else, and,
Oh, so she's Psycho Jenny wasn't from Mazinger Z, but Devil Man.
Well, Psycho Jenny is that weird thing that was at the end of the OVA, the end of the third OVA with Miki, and she's like this weird monster that was in the Amon OVA.
Oh. Are you talking about the one with the big bug eyes?
Yeah.
That's Psycho Jenny?
Yeah.
Well, then who the heck is the freaking robot I've been talking about?
The name of the robot girl from Mazinger Z. When I search for robot girl Mazinger Z, there's like a whole genre of Mazinger Z cute girl animes apparently that have been made in recent years.
Oh.
Where it's like they've made
I think I heard about this.
They've made all these Gonagai robots into like cute girls. Like they did the battleships and the guns and stuff, and now they're doing like robots that become girls.
I think that's like I think they came out like a few years ago. I think I know what you're talking about. I've never seen it though.
Robot Girls Z apparently.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
But that's, I guess that's what Gonagai does now. He just licenses it out to anything, like even if it's just some cute girl moe junk that they're going to do with his characters.
Yeah, I remember like certain like Super Robot fans being like pissed off about that, Robot Girls Z, but I remember like, I think it was like pretty well promoted for that time, and then after it, you know, it aired or came out, like no one's really talked about it since.
Yeah, I don't know how well it did in sales or whatever, but
yeah. oh, we should probably mention about like in the second episode that Jake and Grandizer show up only to harass or bully Koji Kabuto and the Mazinger for being too old. So that was like their small tidbit, and then what was it?
He's like in an elevator or something.
And they hop on top of it.
Yeah, they stand up there and they just start taunting him and insulting
him.
And they're pretty cute designs, but they just like are kind of wasted. And Getter Robo is in there for a few seconds too in that episode.
Well, Getter Robo runs a repair shop and he's there to repair the goal or whatever, like spaceship for Dr. Hell, because of the battle that would happen earlier in that episode.
Yeah.
Well, then at the end of the second one is when we get revealed that they go out to space, I think. Or I think in the third one they go out to space. I can't remember which one. But then they're like, realize that like, okay, the center of their universe, where the light comes from, is like where Go Nagai, the creator, is. Because like, Ryu, or should I say Demon Lord Satan, like puts a coating or something like around the orb of light, and then like it's like, oh, through this we're gonna find out like the true form of like who's really behind this, and then it's child Go Nagai, but then they realize that they like put Go Nagai's head inside the spaceship, and then like they realize like if any part of them touches that head, like they get sucked into whatever reality that is that's in there. So then they have to like, they had like the freaking turtle head strapped to like a fishing lure, and then they had to put him in there, and he was useless because he freaking had his eyes closed so they couldn't tell like what they saw.
Yeah. that turtle didn't even serve any purpose in that scene.
Yeah, other than being comic relief.
Yeah. Which I guess is what this is supposed to be about, but. It doesn't really advance the plot to have the turtle doing that.
Yeah, well, speaking of, like, in terms of, like, immature jokes, there's also parts where, like, Devilman blows, like, he shows his butthole or something and then blows a fart.
Yeah. That does happen.
For no reason other than just to taunt Baron and Ryu.
I guess that's, you know, just another childish gag that they had in here, but it was kind of like...
Yeah.
Just so out of place.
Well... So apparently there's another monster in this called Zenon. So they have like this like cleaning crew, like little minions that are like, oh, we're here to clean up the messes after all these battles. But their major purpose is the fact that like, and when they all join together, they make some sort of dragon demon or something. And so the joke was that like, Devilman didn't give him the last person who was in charge of like all the cleaning people. Because it would have created this face, and then Devilman's like, no, you were too hard to fight in the manga. I'm not going to allow that to happen. So he, like, chucks him off the ship. And then, like, the Zenon monster follows after, and then that was, like, the end of that. So we never saw him again. It was just kind of a useless scene.
They were like, oh, there was a cool fight in the manga. Let's avoid doing that in this.
Yeah, we don't have the budget for that.
Let's not show that.
But, anyways, but, I mean, to kind of sum it up, I mean, it ends with, basically a new world. They're seeing a new world being created, which is the world of Violence Jack. And so then, the spaceship crashes on Violence Jack planet, I guess you can call it. And then that's when, Akira, gets cut in half and falls out of the spaceship. And then, Ryo is like, I can't, I had to destroy Gonagai because, without Ryo, Akira, my life is worthless. And then, the Mazinger Z uses his, ultimate breast fire attack to try to, battle, Ryo, and then winds up putting a hole in the freaking ship, and then they wind up crashing on Violence Jack planet or whatever. and then we get to see, Violence Jack, and he's like, oh, this is my place or whatever, and...
Yeah, there's some kids around him, because Violence Jack is the friend of the children, and... But then Violence Jack, he only hangs around for a few minutes, and then it just ends. Which, I kind of wish that segment had been a little longer, or that he had something more to do.
Well, then it also, before that ends, it shows you how, anime is made. They went through, a world to be created, there has to be an idea, then there has to be, characters, and, it's focused around robots, so we'll design the robots. And then, I have to put in some characters, who's gonna pilot the robots, and who's gonna be in it. And then it's like, you make this whole world around it. So that's explained in some way, I can't really remember. But that happens, and then, I guess things go back to normal or something. And then that's the end.
I guess they go back to their own worlds. So,
yeah.
And then, or different parts of the same world, I don't know. I mean, it says Gonagai World in the title, not Gonagai Worlds. But, I mean...
Even though he made a second world, so is that still part of the same world, plural? Or,
yeah, I don't know. Idea.
Yeah.
I mean, you can interpret this in, I guess, a bunch of different ways, even though it's just a stupid little comedy OVA. Because, I mean, I think you probably shouldn't take it too seriously in terms of how it relates to the manga or anything. So you can't really use it really that much as proof of all of Gonagai's works are set in the same world. But he does tend to have his characters show up from one series to another.
Right.
All the time. Mazinger Z shows up in Duty Honey and, Cyrene and Devilman show up in Violence Jack and, all this kind of stuff happens all the time in his work, so
it's like the Leegee-verse, only it's only done, it's just the Gonagai version, but
yeah,
I feel but like the Leegee-verse
because really they kind of just did this over so many years that they didn't have a coherent plan, they just used their favorite characters when they felt like using them.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the Leegee-verse is just kind of it's not as, I guess, in depth or as creative as the Gonagai world, because then you got all this other great stuff that he did, Black Lion and Shuten Doji, and everyone's they're sort of the same character, but they're just so colorful and they're so very unique on who they are. Cause you distinctly know who, what series they're from based on how they look. Whereas for Leiji Matsumoto's characters, they all kind of sort of look the same. At least to me. But, and there's not as many as it is for Gonagai. There's
a bigger variety, I think, of Gonagai's designs, because, he does these kind of dark characters like Violence Jack and Devil Man, and then he does magical girl shows like Beauty Honey and other ones as well. I guess Princess Knight or something. And then he's got tons of different giant robots that he's done. Like the amount of huge, super robot shows that he designed for in the 70s. So he's got a unique design for each one of those that was able to be marketed internationally, where they made the Shogun Warriors line and everything and sold it in Europe and the US. And even in places where the shows didn't really catch on, you know, like his merchandise and toys always tended to sell well because he's just so good at designing stuff.
I know certain like older otaku think he's like overrated, but that's always been like a really weak defense the way I understand it, because it's kind of like, well, all these other mech shows are coming and Gonna Guy was just copying whatever, but then I was like, but his stuff is just incredibly unique for its time. Like, you know, yeah, I consider him like a pioneer of the super robot genre. And in a way, he did do his own designs and did his own stuff the way he wanted to. And
yeah, people shouldn't just discount everything that came before a Mobile Suit Gundam.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of creative stuff in the super robot.
I think that's kind of like part of the weak argument is people are discrediting it. Because like, oh, it's too much, like, it's trying to copy Gundam. But I'm like, he did stuff way before Gundam. So I don't know. Because and, that super robot genre of the 70s was like just so oversaturated with like whatever they could put out there at the time.
Yeah, it's not like they're all great, but you know.
No.
But that shows like Raideen, you know, that was where Tomino got his start before he could do Gundam, to have super robot shows first. You know, that was kind of a predecessor to what, you know, real robots eventually became.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that. Those shows, they might seem cheesy now, but, you know, that was a part of development of this genre and everything. You know, a lot of them are toned down from his manga and stuff, but, but you know, if you look at his actual work in the manga of the Super Robot shows from the 70s, they're not really, like, completely kid-friendly, like, would have a reputation of. Like, there's stuff in Grandizer and Mazinger Z that's, you know, about as brutal as you have in Devilman, really, because they tied it together here in a way with this OVA of, you know, saying that these two shows are similar in certain ways, but
yeah,
you know, there's characters like the turtle where he absorbed all these human souls. There's a robot that did that in Mazinger Z, and Mazinger Z had to fight him anyway, and then people ended up dying, and so it's not like it's all smiles and sunshine and
yeah,
and super robot shows like some people think. You know, there can be some like dramatic deaths and really shocking violence, you know, people being cut in two and stuff. Like Gonna Guy, he includes some really over the top shocking violence in his works, and it's always amazing what he could get away with considering these were aimed at, you know, kids in Japan at the time. Because, you know, they're like selling toys of these things, like, oh, shoot the missile from Mazinger Z's hand or whatever, but, you know, like, he uses it to like completely obliterate someone in the manga and that sort of thing. When he first gets in Mazinger Z, it like destroys a whole city and like countless people are killed because he can't control it. And they're saying like, oh, this is a demon that he can't control what he's doing. So it's sort of like when Shinji loses control of the Eva in
Evangelion.
Yeah, or when they have to.
But like the scale,
the dummy plug system.
Yeah, like that. But the scale of that happening is so toned down compared to Gonna Guy stuff. Because you're saying like, yeah, you know, like everyone dies in the city. Well, Shinji may kill like, you know, 10 people out of every Evangelion battle. And it's like people like are able to escape in time, or someone's going to get really injured. But I mean, like, you know, like, some stuff is happening where, like, someone's got to get injured out of this. But, like, it's still, like, the like impact of, like, sister. Yes. But, like, it's still the impact of, like, every time he goes to save the world, he's impacting, he's endangering someone's life somewhere.
Yeah. But yeah. Gonna Guy, like, I think that the thing is he doesn't mind having his characters get a little bit dirty, you know, have some blood on their hands. Like, even his heroes are really coarse and vulgar characters, usually.
Yeah.
You know, they tend to be, like, groping women all the time and stuff, even if they're, like, heroes. And, you know, I guess that's just how boys' manga is, really. Like, they don't shy away from showing that kind of stuff. But but especially Gonna Guy tends to have, you know, some really misogynistic characters. But that, I mean, people can't really criticize Gonna Guy for that and say that he's, like, a worthless director because he's sexist or something, or a worthless manga artist because of that. You know, it's just like a fantasy, you know, it's like an out of control, wild, completely insane, yeah, fantasy from this lunatic, but it's kind of brilliant too.
It's a lot of brilliancy behind it, and the thing is, like, you know, if it offends people, they don't have to read it. They have a choice not to read it. They can just look the other way and be like, this is this guy's world, and I don't want any part of it, but they're still fine.
I know a lot of people feel that way about violence, Jack, and that's fine if you can't take it.
Yeah. It is definitely not for everyone.
I mean, I would recommend, like, watch the manga edited dub first or something if you really wanted to just get a taste for it.
Yeah, the edited versions of the manga,
the whole thing.
I mean, the edited versions of the manga UK stuff is the way to go, and I think you can still find that out there, because I think the Discotheque DVDs are all the uncut stuff. And that's why I'm very incredibly hesitant on picking up any Violence Jack on DVD, because I'm like, I don't want to watch that again. I own, like, the last OVA they did. The one with, like, the school teacher. Like, that was the most toned-down one that I could watch. And honestly, like, Slum King, I mean, it's bad, but and there are some good parts in it. But, like, Evil Town, like, there's no way I can watch Evil Town again.
That's the one where there's, like, these
supermodels, yeah. Raped, right? They get raped, and then, like, they get brutally murdered. And then Violence Jack has to, like, brutally murder the leader of, like, the gang or whatever, and it turns into a demon, and I don't know.
Yeah, that's one of the darkest ones, because it's, you know, it just shows, like, these people, they seem like they're upstanding at first, but then it turns out that even the good people in the post-apocalypse have had all their inhibitions torn away from them, and become savages too. And so that's one of the things with Violence Jack, is kind of like he's acting as, like, this judge, jury, and executioner, and just slaughtering all these people. And but at the same time, he's no better really than the people he's going after, because he has so much blood on his hands, and he's just so
But it takes vicious. someone that's not that innocent to take out the uninnocent as well.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
he is
a necessary
walking
force of nature. For
he's a necessary evil for this world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, in a way, he's some sort of divine justice in that world, I guess, because he's got all these forms. Like, he's got this trinity of forms that he can turn into in the manga, where there's, like, this older man, and, like, this little kid, and, like, Violence Jack himself, and then the bird. And sometimes they show, like, four or five different incarnations of him on screen at once, and then they'll, like, merge together and stuff, and it's just insane. And I've seen, like, I haven't read the chapter, but I saw an image of where he's a woman, and it's like, he has, like, all these different things he can change into, I guess, and, like, I don't know if he's some sort of god or something, or what exactly he is, but
yeah,
I mean, he's the friend of the children that goes around slaughtering everybody, so it's just, like, such a weird concept of the character.
I mean, it's a messed up world, so
yeah, it is. Well, I guess we kind of are more interested in Violence Jack really than in this OVA, but do you have anything more to say about this OVA in particular?
No, not really. Like, we kind of talked about, like, what happens in it. So we give a summary and a review and spoiled some things. But I think if the people really love Go Nagai, Guy, like, they know everything about Go Nagai, Guy, this is the anime for them. And if you like to be a collector of Devilman stuff, then this is also the anime for you. That's kind of the reason why I picked it up, because it was like, oh, well, we got something for Devilman related to talk about, and it's related to that.
It's kind of an obscure OVA. I honestly considered
like this in line with Scramble Wars. Scramble Wars is this OVA made by Studio Artmic that was like a collaboration of all the other stuff that they did. And it was in chibi form as well, but it was a comedy. So this is kind of like you take all the properties of, like, say, a studio or creator, get them all midget-sized, and then put them in comedic scenes. And that's kind of what this is. Because this came out in 1990, And Scramble Wars was also put out on VHS from Anime Ego, and it's only been out on VHS here in the States. But that's really something for people to like really love if they love Bubblegum Crisis and Galforce and all this, like anything, any property that's been done by Studio Artmic. Like that's kind of like fans of that studio only. Like if you really, really love Bubblegum Crisis, like this is an extra tidbit just to have fun with it. And,
yeah, I haven't seen Scramble Wars yet, but it does sound similar. I've heard of it before.
Yeah, it's definitely like in the line of Go Nagai World, but it's like you would have to really love like Galforce, Bubblegum Crisis, Genesis Survivor Gaiarth, I think one or two other stuff that Studio Artmic did. I think those are the big three. And that is about, well, there's a minor mention of Riding Bean in it, but again, it's a minor mention. It's mostly focused on like Gaiarth, Bubblegum Crisis, and Galforce. But like, if you know those shows like well enough and you love them in some way, then like Scramble Wars is like the great thing to watch. But other than that, it's hard for me to really recommend it unless like you're a fan of those stuff. And same with Go Nagai. Like, it's hard for me to recommend this to just a casual anime fan unless they like really know Go Nagai properties or absolutely love everything Go Nagai does. And then it's like, okay, this is for you. This is just a fun thing just to kind of go along with your Go Nagai collection. And for me, like, it goes with my Go Nagai collection because I got that Go Nagai exhibition book that I picked up in Japan too. So like, I really like that book.
The other Go Nagai stuff first that we've reviewed, like, check out our reviews of the Devilman OVAs and the Violence Jack OVAs. And, you know, those are, I would say probably check those out first because I don't think you're really going to get this unless you've seen those.
Yeah, because a lot of the references, like, regarding Devilman is based on, like, what happens in those first two OVAs because those OVAs came out, I believe, before this did. So they make references to it because, like, we've already seen this stuff. We've talked about it and reviewed it.
Came out before this, too. So that was. Yeah.
I think Violence Jack was either was still coming out or just ended. I don't know.
Because it was early 90s.
Well, Violence Jack, the first Harlem Bomber was in 86.
I think the last one was 90 or 91.
That sounds about right, too, which would have been, I believe, Slum King or something. I don't know. Maybe Evil Town was... I don't know. They have that... they got that Wikipedia page that's got all like the actual like dates those OVAs were made. So we talked about it before. well, it's getting late for me. I need to go to bed soon. But I didn't know how much we're going to talk on closing remarks because a lot of stuff happened this month. Unless you want to try to really go through it real quick. If you had anything, because really the major thing was the fact that we haven't talked about Chris Chan breaking up with Jessica or whatever, because that happened like right after the AWA review that we did early this month. So we never got to really mention about that, and there's like a bunch of like other bullcrap that went along with it in terms of like Chris still hung up over her and that fan art person and the other stuff he did, and he's saying like, oh, I'm totally gonna be over these people, but he's really not.
Yeah, I guess he had already written a lot of the comic ahead of time. So he has all these plots about like Rose Chu becoming fat, cause she apparently had some fat fetishist girlfriend. And then they broke up, so he had the characters.
He had a red condom?
Yeah, he had to make him not fat anymore. which is kind of funny. But he had like a major breakdown when they broke up, and that video where he was screaming and crying was like the craziest thing in years.
As Josh said, who's this disheveled old woman from a Goodwill store? Oh wait, that's Chris.
Yeah.
He went into Wicked Witch of the West mode.
Thought it ended up like this.
Yeah, it went into Wicked Witch of the West mode. Like he just like. That was a major meltdown that he hadn't had in years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I haven't seen him like that in a long time.
Yeah. And,
it kind of reminds me of, like, my name is not Ian Brandon Anderson. Like, that era of Chris where he was always, like, making some bizarre proclamation about something and yelling and picking fights with the trolls. I guess the way it all went down was that he, for whatever reason, decided to go on the Quickie forums and do a question and answer and live stream it. And somehow the person doing the Quinn account used this as an excuse to say that the trolls were harassing her and hacking her and break up with them. And so that was, I guess, their way to get out of having to go see the My Little Pony movie with Chris the next day. Which was supposed to be their first date.
Oh, man.
He supposedly still went with some people, but I think there are people from the Brony Con or something.
I think it was like the Brony community that went, because obviously the people in the Brony community would go in the same theater as 5-year-olds to see My Little Pony.
Yeah, I would think probably that the parents, if they're smart, would say, like, let's not go on opening night to this movie. Let's wait until the weird pony people are not there. They're all going to be in the first showing.
Let's go, like, say, like, the middle of the day, so, like, you know, or first showing of the day, because the ones that are unemployed and live at home, they will eventually, like, they'll eventually go probably in the evening or that afternoon when they wake up. But we can catch them, we can see the first showing when hardly no one's in there, and we don't have to meet any of those creepy furry people.
Yeah, I don't know what time exactly Chris went, but whenever it was, I'm sure the other patrons cleared out.
Yeah, I walked past the theater opening when I went and saw Blade Runner 2049, which is also a very good movie. I highly recommend people watch that. That was a good movie. I rewatched Blade Runner the night before. Like, I popped out, like, my Blu-ray set, and then I popped in one of, like, I think it was the international version and watched that. And I was like, okay. And then, like, once I watched the movie, like, everything connected so much better, because I was like, I'm more connected with these characters because of, like, it just ties into whatever happened in the original movie, and it's just 30 years later.
So you think it was as good as the original, or?
It's its own thing, but I feel like it took a lot of, it was, like, the same thematic elements on what makes a person human. I feel like it was, like, the same Blade Runner feel like it is in the original film, where it's, like, it asks you, like, it kind of get, like, you know, makes you question things, makes you see things, like, you know, the future of, like, what this could be like if robots were to be around, and, like, if you had a holographic waifu girlfriend, and you're a robot that has a holographic waifu girlfriend, and I don't know, like, yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it. It's its own movie, but I feel like the person who did it, like, did a very good job. And it's kind of sort of still dark, but I don't think it's as dry or weary as, like, the original film, even though I love that original film and love this one too. So
if I were to watch the original before I saw the movie, which version should I see? Because there's so many, I don't know which is supposed to be the canon version these days.
I mean, I guess everyone kind of goes to the final cut, but I mean, I saw, like, the international version because it had, well, the theatrical version and the international version are about the same because they have the this, like, overhead dialogue by Harrison Ford, like, kind of narrating parts to make it more like a Humphrey Bogart, like, noir detective film or whatever in the 40s. And I that's the version I remember seeing on TV, was that theatrical version with all the dialogue, which I kind of really liked it. Because if I didn't see it without it, it just feels so weird to me. And
so the final cut removes the narration? Is that the main change it makes?
I believe the director's cut and the final cut doesn't have that narration stuff in. It's only, like, the theatrical and the international version that has it.
So there are four different versions?
Or
more?
Four or five, I think.
Like, what is the difference between final and, like, director's? You know, why didn't the director need two different cuts?
I don't know, the director's cut came out in 92, and then the final cut came out in 07. I mean, I bought the collector's edition on Blu-ray, like, used at a Best Buy for as cheap as I can get it, and that sucker is, like, worth, like, over $100 now. But it's also comes, sure it comes with like a
DVD that has like four cuts.
That might be the same thing, but like this also comes like with a work print as well. And like this is like I mean I bought the set so I can have all of this in case I wanted to sit down and watch it. And even though I haven't gone through any of it since I've owned it for like 7-8 years.
I feel like it might be best to just watch the original theatrical cut. But I know there's like differences between the endings, aren't there?
Yes, I believe so. Like I know of the international one, which is why that was the one I wanted to see. And then I was like, okay, cool. I picked the right version, and I went with that.
So, do you like the international one a lot? I mean,
that's the one I'm more fond of because that's the one I saw on TV mostly. Unless it was like the theatrical cut, but that was the one I happened to just be more fond of. And I'm not sure how much they really changed or altered between the director and the final cut. I still need to watch those like sometime.
I have to wonder how much Harrison Ford is going to continue to do these nostalgia films, like Force Awakens, Blade Runner, Indiana Jones. He came back to do another one for all three of them.
Wait, for what? For Indiana Jones?
Well, I mean the Crystal Skull, you know.
Well, that was the only one. Like I guess they're making another one. I don't know.
Right, that I think there's another one that's in development, but you know the fact that he keeps doing all these, I wonder how long it'll be before he says like this is getting ridiculous. I'm getting too old for this. Because I remember like when the prequels were coming out, people were saying like that they do sequels of Star Wars or is Harrison Ford too old? And then you know 10, 15 years later, they actually decide to do them, and then they kill off his character because he was getting kind of old. I just don't know how long he can do the stunts because he was like injuring himself while doing Star Wars.
Well, also he was injuring himself like trying to fly his own plane and landing them in golf courses in California. Yeah,
he probably injured himself doing Blade Runner too, although I didn't hear about it.
Probably, yeah. It's just... Man. I don't know. Like, I mean, like if it makes him... I mean, I guess like either it's him really wanting to do it or money talks. But I mean, he's such a good actor. I mean, he hadn't really done a whole lot until he started doing these like remake movies. Because like the
It says that he injured his hand by punching Ryan Gosling in the face while filming Blade Runner.
Ha!
I punched Ryan Gosling in the face, said Ford. Ryan Gosling's face was where it should not have been. His job was to be out of range of the punch. My job was also to make sure that I pulled the punch, but we were moving and the camera was moving, so I had to be aware of the angle to the camera to make the punch look good.
Yeah, there's a fight. They fight in like this, like in Las Vegas or this like casino area at one part of the movie. So it's not, it doesn't sound like it's intentional. It's part of the scene, but Gosling, that was actually a pretty good fight too. No, that, now knowing that, now I have a whole lot more admiration for Blade Runner 2049. That Harrison Ford can punch out Ryan Gosling's face. I really got nothing against Ryan Gosling as an actor. I mean, like, if it was like... If they made another Indiana Jones and Harrison Ford had to punch out Shia LaBeouf and it was a real punch, then I would be behind that 110%. Shia LaBeouf has fallen off the deep end so much.
He will not divide us.
Well, now he moved his flag somewhere else or something. Because, like, Daph went on the chat and was saying, like, now the flag is not in Tennessee or somewhere else, and the trolls found it, but they tried to set it on fire, and they couldn't because it was made out of vinyl or something.
Okay, I just looked up Indiana Jones 5. It says that Shia LaBeouf is not returning for it.
Oh, thank God.
But I think Harrison Ford will be in it.
Well,
I mean, it would be something weird if they did like what they did with what they're doing with Star Wars, where they're gonna make like a prequel of with Han Solo's young instead. You know, like I know there was already a young Indiana Jones TV show and stuff, but they could like,
no, they made those young Indiana Jones like made for TV or made for video, direct to video like series that they did back in the 90s. I used to watch those as a kid. Those were actually pretty good.
I think George Lucas was even involved with that.
I think he was too. Man, I would love to go back and rewatch Young Indiana Jones. It might be on the internet somewhere, and I need to find and watch them. But
I've always meant to see it, but I haven't seen it.
It's been since like 94, 95 since the last time I saw Young Indiana Jones. So it's been a while.
Yeah.
I can't think of anything else. We kind of talked about Chris Chan, but that was about briefly it.
I think that we could, I guess, bring up what happened with Mason. I guess we talked about it a little bit, but if you listen to Tune Radio, you're not going to be anymore because it's being seized by the government. He has not been paying his taxes, and so he's having his house taken away from him. And
well,
the premises of Tune Radio LLC will soon be occupied by another resident.
Well, LLC is supposed to protect him, even though he goes under bankruptcy, I think. It's TuneRadio.net. Hang on, radio.
Oh, TuneRadio.net is gone, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm waiting for the Koreans to buy it again.
Put that weird fish game back on.
Yeah, we need like Ocean Paradise or whatever.
Right now it's just blank. It doesn't take you to anything.
So what's that? Like TuneRadio.com is just a blog for him now.
He supposedly uses it to solve his writing, but I don't know that anybody ever actually pays him for his writing. Like, supposedly he was waiting on a payment from a client and he didn't get it in time, and so he's losing his house is the way he's portrayed the situation. But he hasn't actually been kicked out yet, which makes me
honestly doubt it before,
he said he was going to be kicked out and then he wasn't.
I don't know, like, if he's waiting to be kicked out, I feel like that won't come.
Right.
Like, the government's just going to say, like, yeah, you can't be here anymore, but they're probably not even going to enforce it.
I mean, how can they move him? He weighs 400 pounds.
I mean, maybe by, like, backhoe or, like, that scene in What's Eating Gilbert Grape. Wait, didn't they?
Yeah.
Oh, no, like, the joke in What's Eating Gilbert Grape was the fact that they were going to, like, use a forklift to get his mom out of the house to bury her.
That's what they're going to have to do to Mason.
Yeah, no, they're just going to have to burn, like, if Mason dies in his house, they're just going to have to burn the house with him.
That would probably be for the best.
Yeah,
it's like a huge liability to the neighborhood. Like, it's like an unkempt house that's constantly being broken into.
Yeah.
I mean, they probably, if there's like an HOA or something, they've probably been trying to get this guy out of there for years. I mean, can you imagine, like, this stench coming from that house? It's probably a biohazard to the neighborhood.
I know if Daph was on here, he'd be like, yeah, you walk by the house and you instantly catch autism. I'm like, that's not how it works.
Daft, I think, actually gave money to the GoFundMe, because each time this happens, like the day of where he's about to be foreclosed on, he posts on Facebook like, give me money and stop me from being foreclosed on. And usually the ego and Daft fall for it, but
it's
never enough, and it never accomplishes anything.
No, there's no solid. It's literally throwing money away, and like Daft is really good at that because the stuff he buys, he's like the new JT. He really is.
He's worse.
I don't know if I would say worse because he's not buying garbage yet.
He's buying air.
But if it looks nice nice in the glass jar and didn't look like it came from the trash can, he's slightly above JT. I have to sink low to make that accusation. Anyways, but here's the thing that gets me is the fact that like VQ like writes, he does his donations out of spite to make himself look good for Mason and to make us look bad. Like he's gonna get something out of it.
He puts a message on there that's like,
he is such a heretic.
Yeah, like his comment when he donated was like, this is a donation from the Cool Kids Club.
You won't get this from the Anime of Yesteryear podcast. They're not going to give you any money. Like, no, I'm not, because I'm not freaking retarded like you are, Vika, just to throw money away. I mean, I understand Mason's dire need, but this is a guy that is bad with money, and giving him more money is not going to change that.
Yeah.
He should have left his house years ago. He should have been in an apartment or government-funded housing that he can afford and to live in a better condition than where he's at now. That is all on him.
And he's going to get himself killed if he stays in that house.
Yes.
I mean, he gets burgled every day.
Yeah, I mean, he's making an income. He's gotten people donating him through Patreon somehow. So,
wait, Mason has a Patreon?
It's on the freaking TuneRadio.com website. That's how they're giving him money.
I thought it was GoFundMe.
Maybe it is GoFundMe. But he has a Patreon.
Well, the thing is, on his GoFundMe, you don't get anything out of it like you would on a Patreon.
Yeah.
It's just a charity case for him. Like, I think maybe he does have a Patreon too, but...
Well, he does. I just looked at it.
He was saying, like... I can't come up with any perks, I think was what he said the other day when he was talking about this Patreon.
Yeah. You know, by the way, like, our podcast Patreon is still, like, in, I think, draft mode. I started writing one up months ago, like, over the summer, and I just kind of stopped. Because then I realized, like, I mean, like, honestly, I'll be happy if we make $10 a month off Patreon. But I can't think of any other exclusives other than, like... Like, other than, like, oh, I guess I can just live stream the us recording if you want to hop on when we do it. But we record at such, inopportune times, we can't stick to a schedule. Because you sleep through half of it. I am blaming you on that. My finger is pointing at you through the computer screen. But, I mean, at least, like, but this is kind of like us doing this is just like, hey, we have time. Let's get this over and done with. So, I don't know. Like, I can't feel like that committed to stick to a perk or something.
And they would have to join the Discord page, which
it's not active anyways. Yeah, there's no
really
point
care to see it because the only thing that's on there is just occasional defuse link from cloud.
Yeah, like it's not that exciting.
Yeah,
I mean everything
some really that bad tweets usually.
I feel like anything we promote is something that can and will be done for free. Like, oh, donate to a Patreon and join our forum. Like, we just make a forum and make it for free. But yeah. There's no point in having a forum if, like, all we're going to use is Slack. I mean, like, that'd be for, like, our fans, but...
I mean, I'm not against us having a forum again or something, but it's not really a priority either. I mean, do people still even post on forums? I mean, barely.
I mean, like, I think if we got a whole bunch of comments in on our podcast, like, a forum would be a good idea. But, like, we don't really get a whole lot.
Dead.
Yeah, it would just be a dead forum. Like, I'm not going to put effort into that.
Maybe it's premature to make it Patreon, you know? Maybe later.
I don't know, but, like, honestly, the stuff we pay for hosting every year, we're not hard on money. I mean, we got the stuff from our... we got paid for doing the Suicide Squad review. That pays for 3 years of hosting. We just paid for 1 year. We got two more left. So... I mean, like, yeah, I think we're financially good. Like, we live off of means, but we stick to that. And, we welcome donations. I don't, like, you know, like, yeah, sure, give us money. Like, I put that aside, and we'll figure out what to do with it. But usually it's going to just be for host costs to keep it a .com domain. Other than that, yeah, I mean, like, there's no point in right now having a Patreon. Like, unless we did something creative, like, if we were like, oh, let's... make, like, movies or something, then, like, yeah, we can, like, add perks for people to get, like, behind-the-scenes stuff.
I don't want to go the Nostalgia Critic route, you know? Like, the thing is, those guys, they all have Patreons.
Yeah.
And they make stuff, you know, those awful skits and whatnot, but I don't think anybody really likes them. And that's, like, what their passion is. I mean, I don't really... think that we have any interest in making like films about our watching anime or something, you know? It doesn't have any real relation to what we're doing.
No, because then we'd be like everyone else. And
right.
I mean, for me, I wasn't even thinking about doing skits. I was like maybe like creative small movies or something. I don't know, but
I mean, that's like if you have something like that, you can put it on the YouTube, like when we did the commentaries on your Gundam shorts, but
yeah.
But it doesn't have to be a Patreon thing.
No, it's free. No one has to pay to see that. Like, no one should pay to see the Skepta movies.
Yeah, I mean, like I could always see it. Something I made 20 years ago with 15. Like 5 minutes of effort.
I mean, like I've thought about like making like Gundam fan films again, but like I would put a whole lot more effort into it than what I did 15 years ago.
Yeah.
But like for me, it's just kind of like I don't like. It's just stupid to make it as like. You know, like, oh, I have to, like, you know, make a Patreon and people can see the behind the scenes of me setting up a camera. Like, do people not know how to, like, make them? Like, there's tutorials on how to set up a camera. And set up a camera is easy. You set up the camera. It's not hard. You got to figure out your lighting and stuff. It's not hard. It's not rocket science. Nobody needs to pay me to know how I do stuff.
You should make one of the perks be, like, they'll make Godomet style videos. It'll be, like, you saying,
okay.
Remote control work.
Now, that I could be behind. No, for me, you'd have to pay me to act like Godomat. That would be an incentive. Let's start with like $10 for a Godomat-esque video.
You have to make sure the lighting is off and that you mispronounce every word and that you say each word 5 times.
That takes a whole lot of effort. And I have to make this $20 maybe. There's so much thought to go into trying to copy Godomat when that just comes naturally to him. But then I would want to try to one-up that every time. That's the thing.
You have to, like, stuff your, like, some marshmallows in your face or something just to look as bad as him.
And then I talk like a porky pig. Oh, man. That's kind of like my only perk there that I can really think of. But other than that, it's like, no, this is a free podcast. Like, we don't want to not charging anyone anything. If they want to give us money, sure. I'm not even, like, counting it. Like, freaking, I have two jobs. I mean, part-time jobs. But, like, I make money regardless. And so, like, I'm not really hurting for money right now. So,
yeah, this podcast is not, really about monetization as much as some are, you know.
I mean, monetization's nice. I'm not arguing against monetization at all, but it's the fact that, like, you know, like, we don't need it to have a podcast. Like, oh, if we don't get this money, our podcast is over, which I find that utter bullshit.
Yeah, some people will do that.
Yeah, to, like, guilt people, like, oh, you don't want the podcast to shut down. You got to give us money. It's a begathon, basically. Like, no, that's a freaking trap. No one needs to fall for that.
How are the YouTube videos doing? Like,
I haven't even checked, and I haven't even uploaded new ones since like last month because I've just been so busy. But I mean, I can check YouTube real quick and just see what we're doing for views. I don't think it's really made that much of a difference. But let's go to Creator Studio. Yeah, doesn't look like it's changed much. I got more views out of playing that My Summer Car video that I posted up when I ran into someone than we have for the podcast episodes I put out a month ago.
Oh.
I think that's a problem. So.
Well, slow and steady wins the race. Eventually people find the videos.
This is at snail's pace. No, a snail goes faster than this.
Grass
grows faster than this, John. So.
Our podcast is a turtle.
Yep. Actually, I'm going to go ahead and get monetization on that, or I can apply for monetization on that My Summer Car video, since I'm looking at it right now. Other than that, I think, do you have anything to say for closing remarks?
No, I think we've said it all.
Alright, and we're at an hour and a half, which is actually really short for a podcast episode. I mean,
shorter than the show that we're reviewing for once.
Yeah. Honestly, like, I figured, like, I was like, oh, man, when we record, it'd be, like, a 3-hour closing remarks segment or whatever on, like, stupid Trump tweets and Chris Chan, but we kind of just summed up everything, and, yeah, I can live with that.
Yeah, I mean, with Trump, the only thing really mentioning is worth mentioning is Flake is not going to run for re-election in Arizona. You know, McCain's got brain cancer and all of that. So,
but see, like you're not even in Arizona anymore,
right? But you know, it's just like interesting that his critics are folding, and you know, he pretty much cited Trump as the reason why he's not running again.
Gotcha.
And so, I mean, between that and the Russia thing is starting to now backfire on Hillary. They're starting to investigate the uranium scandal with Ukraine and Russia and all of that. And so she could be in more trouble than Donald from all this and the Russian dossier that she funded. I just think it's really funny how there's this sort of like Greek tragedy element of it where she like lays the foundation for her own demise, where she's just continually tries to attack Donald and then it always backfires on her.
She's digging her own hole while eating her feet at the same time. Which is like stuff I called out like last year when the election thing was going on. I'm like, you know, they're saying like, you know, they're trying to demonize Trump as best as they could, and then it just falls on their face. It's funny how karma works.
Yeah.
So
and she's just been like a whole year and she hasn't gotten over it at all, and she's still says stuff like they should reverse the results of the election and make me president. A few weeks ago she said something to that effect.
Oh yeah.
Because of Russian meddling. It's like there's never been a loser history of Soros she was.
But it doesn't help that the media is so involved in it and it's just them promoting this bullcrap. But I mean they're free to do whatever they want and I don't know. It's all just a freaking hoax, so
yeah.
Fake news. Alright, I'm going to go ahead and end this recording because I've got to get up butt early in the morning. So that's going to be it for Halloween this year. Next year we'll probably have some more Devilman to talk about.
There's that Devilman versus Cyborg 009 movie still.
We got Devilman versus Mazinger Z. Like we're naming titles we probably listed out last year. Like, oh, we're definitely going to cover this next year. And we'll just have to see what we're going to cover next year. Because I even mentioned, man, John, if we get a head start on that Devilman TV series, then we can get it done by Halloween. Guess what? That didn't happen.
I did finish the Devilman Lady series this month, which was pretty good.
Hasn't it taken you like years to watch?
Yes, it did. I watched like a few episodes a year, and then this year I was like, well, I might as well just watch the rest of it.
It's only 26 episodes, left. Right?
Yeah. I watched the second half, they changed a lot from the manga. It's not quite as depraved, I guess, but I mean, it's interesting and it has some good music. I'd recommend it. Probably more than this OVA.
Maybe we'll check that out. I don't know. All right. We'll find out next year.
This morning with a bad hangover and my penis was missing again. This happens all the time. It's detachable. This comes in handy a lot of the time. I can leave it home when I think it's going to get me in trouble, or I can rent it out when I don't need it. But now and then I go to a party, get drunk, and the next morning I can't for the life of me remember what I did with it. First I looked around my apartment and I couldn't find it. So I called up the place where the party was. They hadn't seen it either.